Have you ever wondered why some people succeed while others flounder, despite similar intelligence or opportunities? The answer lies not in our conscious reasoning, but in the hidden kingdom of our unconscious mind. Our brains process millions of bits of information every second, yet we're only aware of about 40. This vast unconscious realm shapes our most important decisions, from who we love to how we vote, without our awareness. Consider what happens when we meet someone new. Within milliseconds, our brains evaluate facial symmetry, vocal tone, body language, and countless subtle social signals. These assessments happen automatically, creating feelings and intuitions that guide our behavior long before conscious thought catches up. This isn't a flaw in our design, it's the foundation of human intelligence. The story of Elliot, a patient with frontal lobe damage studied by neuroscientist Antonio Damasio, reveals why emotions are essential to decision-making. Despite maintaining his high IQ, Elliot couldn't make sensible choices because his brain injury had severed the connection between reasoning and emotional systems. Even simple decisions like scheduling appointments became overwhelming exercises in futility. Without emotions to assign value to options, his decision-making landscape was hopelessly flat. He could analyze endlessly but couldn't determine what mattered. This fundamentally overturned centuries of Western philosophical thought that positioned reason and emotion as opponents. Our minds aren't unified entities with central captains making decisions. Instead, they resemble ecosystems of competing patterns, impulses, and reactions that gradually accumulate to form our goals, dreams, and life trajectory. We enter the world ready to connect. Even newborns imitate facial expressions within their first hour. Our mirror neurons activate when observing others' actions as if we were performing them ourselves, explaining why chase scenes quicken our pulse. Our minds function as interconnected networks, unconsciously synchronizing breathing patterns, body language, and even biological rhythms with others. Laughter is primarily social. People laugh 30 times more in groups than alone, with speakers laughing more than listeners. Only 15% of laughter stems from humor. It mainly serves as social glue during shared experiences. This connection is vital for survival, as shown by higher mortality rates in orphans who receive physical care but lack emotional bonding. Knowledge flows through evolution, cultural patterns, and family traditions, passing from past generations through us to future ones. Our brains naturally adapted to this stream of connection. Imagine your brain as a landscape of 100 billion neurons forming intricate connections. When you encounter an apple, neural networks fire across distributed regions. There's no single apple section, but integrated patterns that strengthen with practice. Violinists develop dense neural connections for their left hands, and we each form unique neural signatures for familiar activities. These networks become the physical manifestation of our habits, essentially making our brain a record of our life. Children possess what Alison Gopnik calls lantern consciousness, a vivid 360-degree awareness without focused attention. Their ability to declare, "I'm a tiger," demonstrates sophisticated cognitive blending, merging complex concepts into something new. While computers struggle with basic pattern recognition, humans excel at fuzzy thinking, forming gists and overlaying them. Children think in what Jerome Bruner calls narrative mode, immersive, emotionally rich storytelling rather than logical analysis. Our brains undergo continuous synaptic pruning, eliminating unused connections while strengthening frequent ones. This process explains why 14-year-olds often recognize emotions less effectively than 9-year-olds, contributing to teenage emotional turbulence. The bonds formed in early childhood shape our lifelong self-perception. John Bowlby's research revealed children need both safety and exploration. Secure home bases enable confident ventures into the world. Mary Ainsworth's strange situation test identified three attachment styles: secure, 2/3 of children, avoidant, 1/5, and ambivalent / disorganized. These patterns predict future outcomes in school, life, and relationships. Securely attached children have attuned parents who trigger oxytocin release, creating contentment. Secure attachment produces children who manage stress well, build friendships easily, and maintain honesty. When troubled, they seek support rather than withdrawing. Yet even in loving homes, children face fears adults can't fully understand, like anxiety about babysitters, despite handling school separation well. These early experiences shape us in mysterious ways. Children often misinterpret situations, assuming self-blame or taking phrases literally. Though we may recall happy childhoods, these formative moments of confusion and separation influence our emotional development. Walter Mischel's famous marshmallow experiment gave 4-year-olds a choice: one marshmallow now or two later. Children squirmed, hid their eyes, sang, and even banged their heads while resisting temptation. The findings were striking. Children who waited longer excelled throughout life, achieving better grades, showing fewer behavioral problems, developing stronger social skills, and scoring 210 points higher on SATs than those who waited only 30 seconds. The test predicted future success more accurately than IQ. The experiment revealed strategy, not willpower, as the crucial factor. Successful children develop techniques like distraction, looking away, or reimagining the marshmallow as less appealing. When taught to view the marshmallow as just a picture, children's waiting time tripled. This demonstrates that self-control stems from cognitive strategies that reframe temptation, not brute force suppression. Character develops through small, positive actions that reshape neural networks. As Aristotle observed, we acquire virtues by first having put them into action. Our socioeconomic environment shapes both circumstances and possibilities, as shown by a 10-year-old girl who fought for charter school admission, recognizing education as her path forward. Children moving between socioeconomic environments navigate distinct cultural worlds with different rules. Middle-class areas emphasizing assertiveness and structure, poorer neighborhoods demanding street smarts and survival skills. Research shows educated class and lower class families operate with fundamentally different child-rearing approaches, from homework supervision to institutional engagement. Poverty functions as an emergent system where factors like job loss, discrimination, globalization, and policies interact and reinforce each other. This complexity obscures root causes. Yet positive cascades can counter negative ones. When productive influences align, better grades, building confidence, and raising aspirations, virtuous cycles emerge. Successful schools and disadvantaged communities deliberately cultivate these positive feedback loops. When two people fall in love, brain chemistry creates an almost supernatural experience. The caudate nucleus and ventral tegmental area release dopamine and norepinephrine, producing feelings akin to a cocaine high. Our brains find more pleasure in anticipating rewards than experiencing them, creating models that align with reality. This drives our quest for limerence, the harmony between inner and outer patterns. This yearning appears everywhere, in puzzle solving, career choices, and unity with nature or craft. It's innate from birth, as shown by babies responding to others' distress and orphaned higher mortality when deprived of emotional contact. While modern culture reduces eros to sex, the Greeks saw it as longing for union with beauty. Eros fuses emotions, experiences, and mental patterns. As Alan Bloom said, animals have sex and human beings have eros. Between lovers, this pattern dance reveals love's essence. Love you? I am you.